Let's review what we saw on Daf Hey Amid Aleph and the beginning, the top of Daf Hey Amid Beis, as far as Reish Lakish is concerned. Reish Lakish had a problem. How could it be that a karban, in the case of Shalo Lashma, would on the one hand be kosher, but on the other hand it's not meratzah? Either or. Either it's kosher and it should be meratzah. And if it's not meratzah, then why bring the karban at all? And Rabbi Loza pointed out to him that there is such a thing as ritzui, there is such a thing as a carbon kosher that's brought even though it's lacking in ritzui. In the case of, let's say, Ola or Shlomim that was designated by Reuven and then Reuven died, and the halacha is that even though in kapara le'achar misa, nevertheless Chanoch ben Reuven will bring the carbon. So the Gemara says that Reish Lakish is moda in the cases of Ola, Shlomim, etc. There is such a thing as Yorishim bringing the carbon le'achar misa as a carbon that's kosher without ritzui. But in the case of Asham, where we know that there's no such thing as an Asham le'achar misa, there's no precedent at all for an Asham that's kosher, and yet it's not meratzah. That entity, that enterprise doesn't exist on the face of the map of Kodshim. And therefore, in the case of an Asham that was Shechted Shalo Lishma, how could it be possible that it would be kosher and not meratzah? There is no such precedent within the orbit of Asham. And even though Rabbi Loza says to him, well, maybe that's the machlok shin Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah and the Chachamim, Reish Lakish says, I have to reflect not just the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, but the Shita of the Chachamim as well. So now we're going to pick up where we left off on Daf Hey Amid Beis. And you'll take a look about 10 lines down from the top, right below Tosis Dira Maskel Miet. Yosef Rav Huna v'Rav Nachman v'Yosef Rav Sheshes Gabayhu. So there was a discussion here between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, and Rav Sheshes was there and he had something to say. V'Yosvi v'Ka'amri. Rav Sheshes heard the following presentation by Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Kashalei l'Reish Lakish Asham. Reish Lakish had a problem with Asham, because even though the Amora Rabbi Lazar had pointed out that there is such an entity as a carbon that's kosher without ritzui, but not in the case of Asham. Leim Olei, the Gemara wants to know, meaning Rav Huna and Rav Nachman wanted to figure out, why didn't Rabbi Eliezer, why didn't Rabbi Lazar respond by saying Asham Nami Asi Liacham Misa, that in fact not only do we find a carbon like Ola or Shlomen that's brought Liacham Misa of the Bailim, but even Asham can be brought Liacham Misa. Now, what does that mean that an Asham could be brought Liacham Misa? We have a principle of Eina Mesa Mechaprim, but the answer is that in certain cases of Kodshim, when it's impossible to bring the carbon because of situations that arose, but there's no psul in the gufa carbon, like for example, if the owner of the carbon, the bailim, died, what happens is a principle called yireh ad sheyistayev, and then it's sold, and the money is used for what's called ola leketz hamizbeach. So let's explain what this is all about. Again, we're talking about a carbon that's kosher but cannot be brought for any number of reasons. In this case that we're dealing with first is the case where the bailim died. So what happens to such a carbon? We wait until the carbon becomes pasul nafal b'mum. If we let it pasture openly, you know, without supervision, then eventually it's going to somehow injure itself. Maybe it's swallow a nail or something that'll cut its insides, or maybe it'll get a cut on the outside. And once it has a blemish, then its level of kedusha goes down. Okay, so let's say, for example, an asham. An asham is something that you know, you can't be poden asham and just, you know, exchange its kedusha and transfer it over to Moos. But if the asham becomes Nebuchadnezzar mum, and therefore it's pasul akrova, now it's subject to pidyon, which means that we could sell the asham on the open market. The buyer is allowed to do what he wants with the animal, and the monies are directed for a carbon ola, what's called Keitz HaMizbeach. And Keitz HaMizbeach means the peros yaveshim, the dried fruits that come as a dessert after a big meal. You know, you'll see this, Rashi quotes a pasuk in Shmuel Beis. It says, Valechem v'haketz lechol lina'arim. And this is a mashal for what's called an olas nedava. What happens is, if there are no karbonis to be brought on the Mizbeach, we don't want to leave the Mizbeach batel, you know, idle. So what we do is, we bring karbonos ola as voluntary karbonos. Those are called olas nedava. And the money for buying these olas nedava is taken from the Keitz HaMizbeach, which means the, as we said before, the kinuach, you know, the last dessert, so to speak, after the main meal. And this is all codified in the Mishnayos in Masechta Shkolim, in the sixth perek. And it's based on a medrash of Yehoyada Kohen Gadol, who dashed the pasuk in Vayikra perek, Hey, Asham hu Ashum Asham Lashem. And he came to the conclusion, based on this pasuk, that there's an Asham Lashem, and then there's an Asham that goes into the Keitz HaMizbeach. Meaning, if the Asham cannot be brought, we wait till the Asham gets blemished, and then we can sell the Asham on the market and use the money for Keitz HaMizbeach and earmark it for buying Karbonos Olas Nedava, as we said before, so that the Mizbeach is kept busy. Now, there's two dinim in Mizbeach. One is the din of the Maisa HaKrova as a fulfillment of a Chiyuv, and then there's the din of HaMaisa HaKrova mitzad the Cheftz of the Mizbeach, that the Mizbeach should be used for a Kiyum HaKrova. And we're going to take money from this Keitz HaMizbeach and earmark it to buy Karbonos Ola, Olas Nedava, that will keep, so to speak, the Kiyum of HaKrova going. It's sort of similar to what it says in Vayikra Perek Vav, that the Mizbeach, the Eish on the Mizbeach has to continuously be burning. Lo Yichbe. And so too, the Mizbeach should be continuously working on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And for that, if there's no other Karbonis being brought in, and we have this slice of time, this window of time where the Mizbeach is quote-unquote unoccupied, we'll use the money of the Keitz on Mizbeach to buy Karbonis Olas Nedava and keep the Mizbeach going. And now what we're going to do is, in the case of an asham, if the owner of the asham who designated the carbon died and there's no kapar lachar misa, we're going to let that animal roam around in the grazing area until it becomes blemished, and then we're going to use its money to buy olas nedava. That's called Keitz HaMizbeach. So we see that even in the case of asham, there is a way of bringing a carbon without any ritzui. And that's going to be that in the case where the asham became a balmum, and now with its money we're going to buy an ola. That ola is not an ola for the purpose of ritzui, and yet it's a kosher carbon. And it's a replacement for the asham. So you see that even within the constellation of asham, we have a possibility of a carbon kosher without ritzui. So don't limit this discussion to Ola and Shlomim in the case with Meis Bailim, but even in the case of Asham with Meis Bailim, there is a replacement carbon which is kosher and nikrav, but without, it's lacking in a ritzui. And that should have been Rabbi Elazar's counter-argument against Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, you're telling me that in the case of Asham, I don't understand how you could ever imagine kosher without ritzui. Yes, you can, in the case where the Bailim died. Now again, keep in mind that at this point in the development of the sugya, the Gemara is assuming that the status of a carbon which is purchased from the Ketz HaMizbeach is almost an extension, almost identical with the original carbon that became a carbon bal mum. It's not some sort of new chapter, a new category called Ola, but rather it's an extension of the carbon chatos. So you see that even within the realm of chatos, we could have a carbon kosher without ritzui. So the Gemara says, Rav Sheshes, again, this was after that discussion between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Rav Sheshes was present, and he was the observer, and he now jumps in, and he says, wait a minute, you can't prove anything from Oshem Shemesu Bailov as far as Nishchat Shalol Lishmo. And why is that? Because Oshem Lamai Karev Lemosaro, you're only using this Oshem for its mosar, meaning for its damim, but that's not really the carbon itself. You're only really using the damim to buy a carbon that's in fact a carbon ola. And if you don't agree with me, he says, if you're going to tell me that somehow magically through this din of mosar we're going to bring the ola as if it were a carbon asham, then I'm going to ask you the following question. Chatos nami mikrav karva mosra. Even a chatos. Now, the classical case of a chatos that fits into this category called mosar and ketz hamizbeach is going to be the case of a person. Apparently, this was the common procedure that he was mafrish two animals for one single carbon chatos, meaning he was chayv one chatos for one sin, and he's going to be mafrish two. Behemos. Why? He has to have a fallback of security in case, in event that the first carbon somehow becomes lost or becomes impossible to be makarit, became possible. We have the security of the second chatos. Now, what do we do over here? Let's say the first carbon that he was mafrish, Baruch Hashem, is alive and well. He brings it on the mizbeach. And he's no longer chayav a carbon chatos, but he has an extra chatos. What does he do with that? And chatos is not bav and adava. So the answer is yirat shistayev. We go through the same procedure. We make sure that somehow the behema gets a mum. They sell it on the open market as psule hamikdashim as a bal mum, and with its damim they buy a carbon ola, which is purchased from the Ketz HaMizbeach. Now, this carbon ola will be brought even if the original Bailim, who were mafresh that double chatos, died. So we see that even after the death of a person, even a carbon chatos can be brought. Again, it'll be brought as a carbon kosher without ritzui, because ein ha-meisim mechaprim. And yet, in the case of chatos, shalol lishma, we know, and our Mishnah codifies this, it's possible. And if it's possible, it means there's no such thing as kosher v'ena maratza. Despite the fact that it has this whole mechanism called mosar and ketz hamizbeach. And therefore, in the case of asham, how can the chachamim of our Mishnah possibly maintain that if the Asham was Nikrav, it was Nishchat Shalol Lishmo, that the Asham is kosher, just that it's lacking the Ritzui? What are you going to tell me? Because Asher also has a possibility of Kashrus without Ritzui through Dmei Ketz HaMizbeach, etc. Well, then you're going to have to apply the same principle in the case of Chatos. So the Gemara rejects this and says, Chatos afal gav de karva mosara. Even though you're right, Rav Sheshes, in your logic, it's very compelling because Chatos also has this possibility of mosar, which would mean it lends itself to being kosher and lacking in ritzui. But nevertheless, as far as the case of Shalol Lishma, Biet Rachmana, we have a pasuk that says, in Perek Dalet of Vayikra, it says V'shachat also b'makom asher yishchat es ha'olah lifnei Hashem chatos hu, and it's an extra word hu, and that's going to tell me b'havayoso yia. In other words, as long as it's b'havayoso, in other words, it's not a balmum, it can be nishchat l'shem chatos, and it's kosher. But v'yim lav posul. And that pasuk of who is going to be a mute, which excludes and undermines the logic that we would have said, the Havamina would have been, that when we take this chatos and we allow it to yirat shi'istoyev, then it becomes a balmum. We go through the whole process of selling it and using the dumb for Keitz HaMizbeach, and there is such a thing as a carbon kosher and chatos through Keitz HaMizbeach without a ritzui. But nevertheless, if, for example, a carbon chatos was brought shelo lishma, it's absolutely psula. We're not going to say the logical conclusion that chatos, like the other carbonas, should be kosher and ein maratza, because the Torah says chatos hu. And this chatos hu is telling us that if the karba was shechted, in this case the chatos was shechted shelo l'shem chatos, then it's absolutely possible. Because the Torah says, when do you bring a chatos? When it's hu, b'ava yoso, meaning it was shechted l'shem chatos. So it comes out from this sugya that the source in the Torah for the psul of chatos that was shechted shelo l'shma is chatos hu. And this is going to come up again later on in Daf Yud Amid Beis, and also at the beginning of Masechta Menachos. It's a little bit strange, because later on in our sugya Daf Zayin, the Gemara is going to derive the psul of chatos shelo l'shma from other sources, not from this pasuk hu. And this is taken up by various sachronim in the mefarshim. We're going to leave it now for as an open-ended question. Maybe we'll get into it more when we get to the various drushes that establish that chatos shelo l'shma is possible. But again, the main point here is that in the logical progression of the Gemara, both asham and chatos should have been kosher velo olu b'ilum sheichovim without ritzui, because there is this process, this mechanics, the mechanism of Keitz HaMizbeach, in which you could have a carbon kosher without ritzui. But in the case of chatos, at least, we have the pasuk hu that tells me that despite the fact that chatos also lends itself to a kind of possibility of kosher veinu maratza, nevertheless, shelo l'shma is going to be absolutely possible. It's not going to be kosher veinu maratza because of the exclusion, the mute of the word hu. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute. What about the parasha of Asham? If you take a look, you'll find the word hu in the parasha of Asham. Asham namik siv bei, and we'll read the entire pasuk. It says, v'hikter osam ha-kohen ha-mizbecha ishe l'ashem Asham hu. And this is a pasuk in Vayikra Perek Vav. Clearly, the word hu should be telling me that it's got to be bavayaso, it's got to be shechted l'shem asham, and if it was shechted for the purpose of a different carbon, it should therefore be possible. And now the Gemara says that if you read this pasuk carefully in the parasha of asham, you'll realize that the word hu could not possibly be telling you that the carbon is possible because of shelo l'shma. Why is that? The Gemara says, ha hu, that word hu in the parasha of Asham is li'achrak torasei murim u'dichsiv, because the beginning of the pasuk says, v'hikter osam hakonam is becha. So we're talking after the dalet avodos, we're up to haktoras ha'imurim. And with regard to haktoras ha'imurim, we don't have the halach of l'shma, and the absence of lishma apostles the carbon. Kidisanya, like we have in a brisa, which the Gemara is going to quote later on, at Daf Yud, Avol Osham lo nemar bohu el yacharak toras imurim. Which means that if we're talking about after toras imurim, there's no possibility, logically, of talking about a psul of shalol lishma. because who atzmo imlo hiktiru haimurim kosher? Certainly, in the case of a carbon asham, and we're up to the stage of Akhtar, you can't tell me the Shalol Lishma is going to pass all the carbon. The carbon has already been meratze. It already reached its fruition through the Zrika Saddam, that's Mechaper, that generates the Kapara. So therefore, we have to find another drasha and attach it to the word who. V'yela who, what do we do with who in the parasha of Asham? Lovely, what is it needed for? And the Gemara quotes a different medrash, Rav Huna, in the name of Rav. The Omer Rav Huna, Omer Rav Asham. We're talking about a case where the Bailim died after being mafresh, after designated a carbon Asham. Or, for example, let's say the Bailim designated a carbon Asham and then they brought a different carbon as an Asham. So the bottom line is we're left with a carbon Asham that has no possibility of Hakrova. And the Gemara says, Shenitak, which means that it was excluded from the possibility of Asham, Lira'iya, no, it's the only possibility now is to Yirat Shistav, let the animal graze until it becomes a Balmum, and then we're going to bring a carbon Olabit Domov, Ushchato Stam. So now, the carbon Ola, which is Kaviyachal replacing the original carbon Asham, because it was purchased with the money of and the value of the carbon asham, now they shechted it stam. And what does that mean? That there was no machshava for the purpose of any particular zevach is kosher, meaning it has the status of a carbon ola. Now, what are we talking about here? We're talking about nitak liriya. What are those words nitak liri'iyah mean? So it doesn't mean that the ri'iyah already took place and the animal was a balmum and we used its money to replace it with a carbon ola, but rather Bezdin decided that they're going to take this animal and send it out to the grazing area it's designated for nefilas mum, and then we're going to buy the ola with it. Ushchato stam. But what happened was, is before the animal actually went out to Re'iyah, it was shechted without any machshava whatsoever for any particular zevach, and it's kosher. Now, what does it mean it's kosher? After all, Mesu Bailov, or the Bailov already was miskaper with a different asham, so it can't be that when it says here in this price that it's kosher, it means it's kosher b'toras, B'toras Asham, that's impossible. It has to be Kosher B'toras Ola. And why is that? Because since there was a Nituk, which means Bezdin designated for Ashiipol Balmum, so we currently anticipate that down the line it's going to become a Balmum, and they're going to bring the Domim after the sale for an Olas Ketzam Izbeach, then now also it's Omed Bistama as a Karban Ola. It can't be an Asham, so by process of elimination, it's got to be an Ola. But yet, we see this only applies in the case of Nitak. In other words, Bezdin had already designated, they've declared that this Asham is going to be sent out to the grazing areas. And it was given over to a roa, to a shepherd, to bring it out into the wild. So it's nitak in, then do we say it's kosher b'stoma? Lo nitak lo, but if it wasn't explicitly designated with a formal declaration on the part of Bezdin that it should be sent l'ri'iyah, then it's not kosher in a shchita stam, because it still has a shem asham. In other words, you need the nituk to transform the status or the essence and the identity of this carbon asham and make it into an ola. As long as it hasn't been designated for re'iyah to be sent out to the grazing area, then it remains an asham, and you went ahead and you shechted an asham without any kavana l'shem ola. It's not omed l'shem ola at this point, because it wasn't designated for re'iyah. And therefore, if he shechted it stam, it's going to be kosher. What does that mean? It's going to be kosher. It's going to be kosher as what? It can't be kosher as an asham because the Bailim don't need an asham. And it can't be kosher as an ola because its status is that of an osham. Has an osham magically become a carbon ola? I mean, there was no designation for re'iyah. So you can't even say that it's omed le'lios nefila, le'lios bo nefilas, nefilas mum. And the Gemara says, my timer, why, you know, is there some sort of a source for this halacha that if there's no nituk, then it's not kosher b'toras ola, is omer krahu davayaso. That's where we gain something and we figure out what we derive from this word hu in the parish of Asham, that it's got to be hu b'avayaso. It's got to be an Asham that's omed lios Asham, and as long as it wasn't nitak and it wasn't nimsa l'roa, it's not omed lios ola. It says in the Gemara lo nitak lo, that if it was no nituk and therefore remains an Asham, it can't be considered as an ola, because again his shechita was a shechita stam. He didn't have l'shem ola for sure, and it can't be an Asham. There's no such thing as an Asham shabab and a dava. There's no such thing. Is what are we left with? We're left with a carbon that's pasul, and that's derived from the pasuk hu b'avayaso yehe, that you can only be machshered as an asham as long as it's omed lios asham, and it can be used as a carbon asham. But in this case, either because he died and in kapala mesiv, or he has an alternative carbon that he brought for the asham. In such a case, the asham cannot be kosher as an asham, and we don't have the mechanics now of domav l'keitz hamizbeach, because there was no nituk, and now that the shechita was done stam, it was done as a shechita asham, which is absolutely impossible. The carbon is pasul. That's what we have. Now at this point, the Gemara goes back to Rabbi Elazar before, and the Gemara wants to know, according to Rabbi Elazar, who raised the possibility of a carbon that's kosher, but Eidem Aratz in the case of Mesu Bailov, in Ola Shlomim, is Yosef Rav Nachman v'Rav Sheshes v'Yosef Rav Adar bar Masnag Abayhu. So again, in this case, we have a discussion here between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes, and the observer on the outside is Rav Adar bar Masna. V'Yasvi v'Ka'amar, Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes are saying the following, Hadakamar Rav Lozar. When Rabbi Elazar said to answer Reish Lakish's kasha of Eino Maratz Loma Boin, is Matsinu be Boin Liachar Misa Shein Kshem Reim Maratzim, Rabbi Elazar's response was, we do have a precedent for a carbon that's kosher and it's not Maratzah. In the case of Mesu Balov, is Lemole. I don't understand why didn't Rabbi Elazar say to Reish Lakish why didn't Reish Lakish respond, I meant to say, to Rabbi Elazar by saying that there's no proof at all from the karbonos that have brought Liachar Misa, because Hanu Nami Laisu Vileiratsu, because these karbonos are not only kosher, but they also generate a ritzui. Although, obviously, they cannot generate a ritzui on behalf of their deceased original owner, because ain kaparla mason, but nevertheless, the yarshim now, who inherit this karbon, they can achieve a ritzui through the karbon. Omalein Rav Adar bar Masna, you remember Rav Adar was the observer on the side, and he always steps up to the plate here. He says, the proof for Rabbi Elazar was from Olas Yoledes, that in the case of Olas Yoledes, Har Karban Ola could be brought Liachar Misasa by Yarshim, but they don't achieve any Ritzui. Yoledes Imhi Yolda Baneh Miyoldu, there's no reason why this Ola should generate any sort of a Kapara on behalf of the children who inherited this Karban Ola from them, the deceased mother who never died during childbirth, because the Ola is designated specifically for Yoledes, and the heirs clearly are not of that category. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar had a very good proof that you could have a carbon that's karev without ritzui, because in the case of olas yoledes, there's no ritzui on the part of, on behalf of the yorsha. Maskif la Ravasi. Ravasi is not happy with Rav Adar bar Rava's answer, because he says, man lemelon de'ika bameh, I'm sorry, de'ika kama ese gaba lomis kapra. Let's say, for example, the Oledes had been guilty of omitting a fulfillment of a mitzvah's essay. That's called bittul mitzvah's essay. If that be the case, then her ola would be mechaper for those mitzvah's essay. In other words, the carbon Yoledes, the Oles Yoledes, has a double personality to it. On the one hand, it's unique to Yoledes, because she gave birth. But at the same time, it has the general character of a carbon ola, which is mechaper for mitzvah se. And therefore, came the chi ika kama ese gaba miskapra, since the ola, had it been brought by the Yoledes herself, it would have been mechaper mitzvah se, yosheo nami miskapre. Then the yoshim should also be able to enjoy the benefit, the kapara element of this carbon ola, for as a kapara for their bittul mitzvah asay. So the yoshim should also get this kapara on bittul mitzvah asay, just like their deceased mother would have gotten it from the ola. So therefore, there's no longer a proof that it's possible that you could have a carbon that's kari bali ritzui. In fact, even in the case of Yoledes that died, the Yorshim are going to bring a carbon with Ritsu. The Ola is going to be Maratza as far as Mitzvah Seh is concerned. Therefore, we begin to understand why Rabbi Lezer quoted the case of Yoledes as a case of a carbon that's kosher bali Ritsu. Rabbi Lezer was waving the banner of the possibility that the halacha recognizes and validates a korban as kosher even though there's no ritzui, and he brought the parasha of Yoledes, that if Yoledes dies before her ola was brought, then her yorshim bring the ola. And that would be a case of a korban kosher below ritzui. So this would all be good according to Rav Adar bar Masna, and he would understand very well why Rabbi Lazar quoted the case of Olas Yoledes, in the case of Yoledes Shemesa, as a proof to establish that there is this enterprise called Kasher Bolo Ritzui. But on the other hand, Reish Lakish, we still don't understand why didn't he counter-argue against Rabbi Lazar, and Reish Lakish should have simply said, well, even in the case of Yoledes, that's a carbon that's Kasher with the Ritzui, because Yosheo Nami Miskapri, insofar as bittul mitzvah seh is concerned. So basically we understand, in a sense, why Rabbi Lazar thought he had a good argument against Reish Lakish from Chatos Yoledes, but at the same time we understand why Reish Lakish was not impressed with this raya, because maybe from the perspective of Rabbi Lazar, as Rav Adar bar Rava points out, bar Masna points out, Enochinami, this Ola is a carbon kosher without an element of kapara on behalf of the Yorshim, but that certainly would not be the perspective of Reish Lakish. He would accept the logic of Asi, that just like the Oledes herself would have had a kapara through the Ola for not only the Leda itself, but also for Bittul Mitzvah Seh, so too, when she dies, the Yorshim who bring the Ola in her stead would also achieve their own kapara for bittul mitzvah seh. Therefore, you still are not left with a raya, a breakthrough, a precedent for a carbon that's kosher without ritzui. That's the shita of Reish Lakish. Now the Gemara wants to analyze a different question, very much relevant to us, but on the side, and that is when a father, for example, designates a carbon and he dies, and the Yorshim, what happens with the Yorshim? Do they have a kinyan in the carbon of their father? We have to assume, based on the logic of Rav Asi, that the Yorshim, in the case of Yoledes, will have the benefit, will enjoy the benefit of the Ola as a Mechaper for Bitul Mitzaseh, they become the Balei HaKarbon, but it must be that they own the Karbon, meaning that the Yerusha operates in general for Dini Mominus and in Kodshim in order to make you the Balei HaKarbon. And that's called the Kinyan. And that Kinyan makes it possible for the Yorshim to achieve a Ritzui and a Kapar for Mitzvah Saseh. And the Gemara is not happy about that. Why? The Omar, Rabbi Yochanan, we have a statement of Rabbi Yochanan that seems to indicate, on the contrary, that there is no such thing as Yerusha to become the Baal HaKarbon. And how do we see this? Omar, Rabbi Yochanan, he niach mincha, a person designated a karban mincha, and he died. And how many children does he have? Le shnei banav. Vameis, he died and he left two sons. And he wasn't in his lifetime able to find the opportunity to be makir of this karban mincha. So now, what's the status of the karban mincha? Rabbi Yochanan says, kreva. It can be brought, and it's what we call a minchas yachid, the ainbo shutfis. But we don't define this mincha as if it belongs in an equal partnership between the two yarshim, the two sons, the heirs. Now, what we're seeing here is that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the karban, this mincha, can be brought even liachar misa. And l'chora, that's very problematic, because we have a principle with regard to karban mincha that only a yachid can bring a karban mincha, but shutvim cannot bring a karban mincha. Now, if we're assuming that after the death of the father, the heirs are yoresh, and they gain a kinyan, and that's what we wanted to suggest is the reason why they could achieve Ritzui, let's say in the case of Yoledes who died, so the Yoresh now becomes the Baal HaKarbon even as far as Ritzui, has a full-fledged Kinyan through Yerusha, then we should assume in the case of Shnei B'nai Yodim, who are Yoresh, their father's Karbon Mincha, that they each gain a full-fledged Kinyan, which makes them into Shutfim, and there is no such thing as a Karbon Mincha that's brought B'Shutfim. And this the Gemara is going to establish based on a pasuk in Vayikra Perek Beis. And the Gemara says the following, Isak Daita Kanyulu, if you want to say that both of the heirs in fact inherit the mincha and they become the Bailam on the mincha, as we saw in the case of the heir of the Oledes who now gains Kapar as the Bala Ola, then how can you bring this Karban Mincha? After all, Rabbi Yochanan says the Mincha is kreva, it's brought on the Mizbeach. Doesn't the Pasuk say the Nefesh? Again, we'll read the Pasuk, the Nefesh ki sakriv Karban Mincha Lashem solus ya karbono v'yotzuk Lashem v'nosan l'levona. And the Torah says the Nefesh. Nefesh is in the singular of Rachmona, which means in the case of Minchas Nedava, that only a Yachid who has exclusive total ownership on the Mincha is able to bring this Minchas Nedava. But Shutfim are excluded because they're not Nefesh. Now, if we're going to say that the process of Yerusha, which engenders a Kinyan for the Yoresh, is applicable in the case of a Karban, and that's why in the case of a Yerusha of Yoledes, the Yoresh could bring the Karban and he gains Ritzui, that's how Rav Asi understood it, according to Reish Lakish, and therefore there's a Kinyan, then in this case of a Mincha, we have a problem because there's two Banim, two heirs, and they become Shutfim. In other words, Al-Korchenu, we have no choice but to postulate that according to Rabbi Yochanan, there is no Kinyan in the case of Kodshim, Eliyachar Misa. There's no Kinyan on the part of the Yorshim. maybe Yerusha works in general, but not in the case of Kodshim, because that's a different kind of entity. It's got a Kapara element and a Bailus L'Kapara element, and that doesn't lend itself to a Kinyan after the death of the Bala Karma. But if that be the case, then we don't understand in the case of Chatish Yolenes, Akravasi postulate that the Yorshim will bring the Ola and they'll achieve the Kapara as the Bala Karbon for Mitzaseh. Now, the Gemara is perplexed on the other possibility. Let's say, for example, you want to tell me now, based on this statement of Rabbi Yochanan, that there is no Kinyan for Yorshim Liachar Misasa'av, as far as Kodshim is concerned, that a carbon that was designated by the father, the Yorshim, after the father's death, did not acquire ownership over the carbon, is from Rabbi Yochanan. We have another statement of Rabbi Yochanan that would certainly indicate that there is a Kinyan on behalf of the Yorshim. And what was that statement of Rabbi Yochanan? He says, if a person, iniach be'ema, l'shnei bonav ha'meis, in other words, a person left a carbon, let's call it an ola, and he died, and he didn't get a chance after he designated the carbon to bring the carbon, his kreva, the behema will be brought on the mizbeach, the ein mamrin ba, and there's no possibility of tmura. We'll explain that in a minute. E amrit bishle makanya lahu hainu di ein mamirin ba. Okay, then it's going to make sense that there's no possibility of tmura if they indeed, the Yoshim, inherit and make a kinyan on this carbon after the death of their father. Why? Because in such a case, havilei shutfim. And in the case of tmura, there's no possibility of tmura. So in the case of shutfim, there's no possibility of tmura. So if Rabbi Yochanan indeed says that kreva v'ein mamirin ba, that's because there's a kinyan shutfis on the part of the Yorshim. This would seem to contradict Rabbi Yochanan's previous statement, in which he said that hiniach mincha l'fnei shebonav v'meis ein bo shutfis. It's not considered a shutfis. In other words, there is no kinyan, because if there was a kinyan shutfis, he couldn't bring a carbon mincha. Because the Minchas Yochid is only nefesh, it's only if there's one exclusive ownership, but if there are two shutvim, then a Karb Mincha can't be brought. So the very fact that Rabbi Yochanan says we will bring the Karb Mincha indicates that this is not shutvis, because there's no Yerusha to generate a Kinyan in the case of Kodshim. Well, if there's no Kinyan to generate, if there's no Kinyan in the case of Yerusha in Kodshim to generate Bailus, then how do we understand Rabbi Yochanan's other statement, who says, Eim Amirin Ba, which means Eim Amirin Ba, because since the two brothers inherited from their father, Abayimah's Kodshim, they become Shutvim, then Rabbi Yochanan is saying that there is a Kinyan through Yerusha, that the Yoshim do in fact become Shutvim, they become Bailim on the carbon, that's what excludes the possibility of Tmura. And yet on the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan says that if a person leaves a Mincha and he has two Banim, then halacha is they can bring that carbon mincha as it, only because they're not violent, because had they been violent, they couldn't possibly bring the carbon mincha in the case of shutfim. So we really have a stira, head-on collision. Now, this halacha of tmura can be understood if you take a look on the top of that vav and aleph, is shutfim lo matzu mimirim. There's no possibility of tmura in shutfim. And the Gemara later on is going to derive this from a pasuk in Parshas Tmura, that's in Vayikra Chav Zayin, Lo Yachlifenu V'lo Yomir Oso. The entire pasuk is in Lashon Yachid to exclude Shutfim. So there's no Tmura, ain't Shutfim Mimirin. And this all makes sense if we assume that there is a Kinyan on the part of the Yorshim on this Behemoth Kodshim. But if you're going to tell me, as we saw in the previous statement, we derived from the previous statement of Rabbi Yochanan, that the carbon ola can be brought in the case of Mises Ha'av with two banim, because this is not a carbon shut for me, they don't have a kinyan, yet here we're saying that the reason why the sons cannot be meimer on the carbon that they inherit from the father is because they are shutfim.
If you're going to tell me, like we saw in the previous statement, Rabbi Yochanan, they are no shutfim, that's why in the Karban Chatos, Shemesa, Bala, Mesa Av, you can bring it, and they're not considered shutfim, then in this case, if they're not considered shutfim, Amor, Amuri, Nami, Limur, they should be able to be Meimer. So before we see the Gemara's answer, I just want to say a few words about Tmura, because I don't think we've encountered the concept of Tmura in our learning until this point. And the Torah says in the Parsha of Tmura that if you have a behemoth kodshim, you would be violating a law if you try to transmit its kedusha onto a behemoth chulin and say tehei zu tmuraso shel karban zeh. And that's a violation of a lav lo yamirenu. However, even though he violates this lav, the kedusha is chal on this karbon, I mean, say on this chulin, to make it into a karbon, even though at the same time the original karbon remains in its status of kedusha. That's called v'hoya hu in the Lashon HaTorah, hu utmuraso yeh kodesh. Again, this only applies to a karbon yachid, not to a karbon tzibur or a karbon shutfim. There's no such thing as tmura, neither in a carbon sibur nor in a carbon shutfim. And that would seem to indicate clearly that there is a kinyan through Yerusha on this carbon, which makes them into shutfim, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan made the statement that ein mamirin ba, which contradicts his original statement that in the case of the mincha that fell after the death of its bialim to two sons, then that karbon would be karev. That means that there is no shutfis. So is there shutfis liachar misa, or there's no shutfis? So the Gemara says, shadi hasam, the din of tmura is different. In Ochinami, there is no kinyan on behalf of the Yorishim, and therefore there is no technically shutfus. That's why in the case of Mincha, Rabbi Yochanan is Maksha, the Karban Liachar Misa, when it falls to two heirs. But in the case of Tmura, we have a separate Gzeres HaKasuv that two people cannot be Meimir. In other words, the entire Korach of Yoresh, Lahamir, is based on the Pasuk Yom HaKra Im Hamir Yamir, which is a ribuy of the extra word Hamir. The rabbis says a yoresh, that a yoresh can be meimir, but it says in Lashon Yachid to say that only one yoresh can be meimir and two yoreshim cannot. So again, basically we're saying there is no kinyan on a karbon for the yoreshim, and the very fact that a yoresh could be meimir is an exception to the rule, because he's not a violent, how could he be meimir? But there's a special pasuk in Gzeres HaKodesh that says Im Hamir Yom, the extra Hamir is telling you the Rabbi Sayoresh, that even though it's not really his karbon, he can still be Mamer on it, meaning that Yerusha does generate some sort of a quasi kinyan, which is sufficient to allow him to be Mamer. And when we say allow him to be Mamer, it means that he violates the law of Tmura, and at the same time he's able to be Makdish the Chulin. But since it says in the Pasuk, Im Hamer Yamir in Lashon Yachid, to be Marba the Yorish, is Echad Meimir, V'ein Shnei Shnei Mimirim. So two Yorishim cannot be Meimir. Why? Because it's enough for Chiddush that any Yorish could be Meimir, he doesn't have a Kinyan on it. And that's based on the Pasuk that says, Im Hamer Yamir L'Rabasa Yorish. But the Ribui was only extends only as far as one Yoresh is concerned. The two Yarshim, even though they don't have Kinyanim and they don't have Shutfim, that's why in the case of the Mincha that the father died, the two Yarshim could bring the Mincha, because they're not considered Shutfim, because Mincha is not Bar B'Shutfim. Therefore, in the case of Tmura, we can certainly assume that there's no Kinyan and there's no Shutfim. However, the Torah extended the possibility of Tmura to a Yoresh, which is itself a breakthrough Chiddush, but only to one single Yoresh and not to two Yoresh. Maskif Lo Rav Yaakov Minar Pkod, Rav Yaakov, who comes from Narb Kod, he has a problem with this. Elameata, if you're telling me that the double language, Heme Yomir, is coming to be Marbe and to be Mamai, to be Marbe Shuta, but not Shnei Yorshim, in other words, to be Marbe one Yorish, one single Yorish, but not two Yorishim, is then let's fast forward to the parsha of what's called Pidyon Maser, where the Torah tells us in Pidyon Maser, the Chsiv, it says, Vim Gol, Gol Yigal. Again, a case of a double language. And this is at the end of Sefer Vayikra in Perek HaVav. We're talking about Geulas Maser, Maser Sheni, I meant to say, that you're allowed to be Poda Maser Sheni, but the Torah says you have to be Mosif. It says Chamishaso Yosef Olav, so he has to add in this pidyon process an extra 20% Chamishis Yosef Olav. And what we should say is that when the double language of Gol Yigal is coming, L'Rabos Yoresh, that even the Yoresh, if his father dies before he gets a chance to be Poda the Maaser Sheni, the Yoresh also has to be Mosif Chomesh when he's Poda his father's Maaser. Is Hachinami, should we say, therefore, Echad Goel V'en Shnayim Goelim? That if there are two Yoreshim, then there's no din of Tosefes Chomesh? And that's because it says him Gol Yigal Ish Beloshen Yachid. So the Gemara completely rejects the logic of this kasha, the underlying premise of Rabbi Yaakov to ask such a kasha, because Shiny Maser, the case of Pidyon Maaser Sheni, is so different because L'gabi Avua Nami Isa B'Shutfis. Even if the father was a partner together with another partner in the ownership of the Maaser, the Maaser Sheni, in this case, he would be Chayev to be Poder a Chomesh. And just like with regard to the Bailim themselves, they would be a Chiv Chomesh even if he's only a Shutof. We don't limit it to Yachid, the halach of Chomesh. So to in Yorshim, we have the din of Hosafas Chomesh, Bein B'Yachid, Ubein B'Shutfin. But in the case of Tmura, even if the father himself was a Shutav, there would be no possibility of Tmura. And therefore in Yorshim also there's no possibility of Tmura. So your kasha, Rav Yaakov, was, well, let's look at the Pasuk. And the Pasuk, in the case of Tmura, says him Homer Yamir to exclude Shnayim. Well, what about the pasuk of Gaol Yigal? That should exclude Shnayim. And then you'll come to the incorrect conclusion that if there are two Yoshim, there's no need for Hosafas Chomesh if they go ahead and they're poda their father's Maaser Sheni. And that's not so. That's not true. In other words, Ein Shnayim Golim is simply wrong. I mean, the Gemara doesn't spell out why and how we know it's wrong, but it's wrong. So the answer is because there's no reason or there's no logical rhyme or reason to exclude two Yarshim in the case of Pidyon Maaser Sheni from the law of Chomesh, because even if the father would have been a Shutof, there would have still been a Din Noeg, it would have been the relevancy of this Din of Tosefes Chomesh. But in the case of Tmura, had the father himself in his lifetime been a Shutav, there would be no possibility of Tmura, and therefore, after he dies of the two Yoshim, there's no possibility of Tmura. Amalei Rav Asi l'Rav Ashi umina, and from this din of Tmura's Yoresh, that itself should prove that a Yoresh is Konan. Once we have the ribui of Im Homer Yomer, that itself should tell us that there is a kinyan on behalf of the Yosi Yomet Bishlem and Kanyale. Then you could say Hainu Dechad Miomemar. There is a possibility of doing a Tmura in the case of one single Yoresh because he inherits his father's status. Eli Yomet Lo Kanyalehu. But if you're going to deny that there's a kinyan, then Hechi Memer. How could he be Memer something? And the Gemara is going to go on to prove that the person who could be Mamir has got to be the Bailam of the carbon, so we have to assume that there's a Kinyan. That's going to be a big problem because, as we said before in Rabbi Yochanan, in the case of Mincha, where the father died, he left two sons, the carbon is brought the mincha that was singled, that was designated by the father, will be brought by the two sons, and it's not considered shutfim, that there is no kinyan. But here, if there's possibly of tmura in the case of one yorish, it must be that the yorish is kona. And the Gemara proves that Omar Rav Abba, Omar Rav Yochanan, there were three dinim that were formulated by Rav Abba, the name of Rav Yochanan. The middle one of the three is the one that's relevant to us, but let's go through all three of them. And we'll see the common link between all three of them. The first one is Amagdish Mosif Chomesh. That we have halacha that if a karban becomes a balmum, then as we said earlier, you could be poda the karban, you could be machal the kedushas karban onto mos. And now the kedusha of the karban is on the mos. And we use those mos to buy another behemoth for a karban. Now, when the bailim come to be machalel, to be poda this carbon, after a mum fell in it, they have to add to its market value another chomesh, an additional chomesh. And that's called a magdish mosif chomesh. Now, what happens if another person comes and he wants to be poder? He wants to be poder this behema that nafal ba mum. So we have Reuven, who was Magdish the behemoth. If he's poda his own behemoth after it falls with a mum, then he has to add a chomesh. But if Shimon comes along and wants to do the pinyon on this animal and be machal the kedushas carbon that's left over, whatever residue is left over after the mum, onto the mos, then he doesn't have to add a chomesh, because he's not really the one who's trying to get himself out of this mess and somehow be mechalel the carbon onto Mos so that he can buy another behemoth of carbon. He's a third party. He doesn't have any vested interest, and the Torah doesn't obligate him in a chomesh, in a Tosefes chomesh. So this will all be relevant for the following scenario. Let's say a person, we'll call him Reuven, is Magdish or carbon Almanashi is kapar bo chavero, so that Shimon should achieve the kapara. Now the animal becomes a balmum. So let's ask the following question: who's going to be machalel the kedusha of this carbon that now this animal is a balmum? If it's the Magdish himself, then when he's machal, when he's poda this carbon that has a mum, he has to add a chomesh. But if the miskaper, that means, keep in mind that Reuven was magnanimous here. He purchased the carbon he's mafresh the carbon for the sake of the kapar of Shimon. If Shimon decides to be mechalel, he's going to put up the mos and he's going to transfer the kedusha from this carbon shenafal b'mum over to the mos. He doesn't have to add a chomesh. That's the first statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Then we go on to the second statement, which is going to be the most relevant for us, and that is umiskaper ose tmura, that if a person was magdish a karbon, Reuven will call him almanas for the purpose of Shimon achieving the kapara. He magnanimously forfeits his rights to kapara Reuven, and he gives them over to transfers them over to Shimon. Is then the law is that the magdish is not able to make Tmur anymore because he has forfeited his bailus and he's no longer the miskaper, but Shimon is the miskaper because he was magdish and almanas that Shimon should be the miskaper. Now, Shimon now is in the driver's seat. He's considered the balak carbon because he achieves the kapara. So it's not the magdish who may have monetary ownership over the behemoth, but he purchased the behemoth and designated it as a carbon for the kapara of Shimon. He gave Shimon the bailus over the carbon as far as kapara is concerned. And in this case, only the miskaper, who's the bailum as far as kapara, could be meimir, he could do tmur, but not the original owner. And then the third halacha of Rabbi Yochanan here is hatorem mishalo al shalchavero tovas hanoa shalo, that if a person uses his fruits, his own grains, to be mafresh truma on behalf of someone else, so Shimon is now being mafresh truma on behalf of Reuven, Shimon uses his own peros, so then he gets the tovas hanoa. It's as if the truma is his. The Torah gives him the right in the bialos to decide which kohen he wants to choose to give the truma to. He's in the driver's seat as far as giving the truma and earmarking for any particular kohen that he desires. That's called tovas hanah. Now Rav Asi asks, let's go back to the second din, the middle din of Rav Yochanan. That Rav Yochanan said that in the case of a yoresh, that the yoresh is not kona the carbon of his father, and he's not miskaperbo, if that was the position of Rav Asi, and that we saw that there's no shutfim in the case of the mincha when the father dies. So if there's no shutfis, then we're going to ask, how can he be meimir? The halach of meimir is connected, as we saw in Rabbi Yochanan, to the miskaper. But if the child, the heir, is not a miskaper, so then how could he be meimir? Again, we're talking about one yoresh, not two yoreshim, because that was a special miut of echad meimir v'ein shnayim meimir. But as far as one yoresh is concerned, we had the double language in Homer Yomir, L'Rabbis HaYoresh. How could the Yoresh, if he doesn't have a Kinyan, which means he's not the Miskaper, how could he possibly have the power, the authority to be Mamer? Mamer is only the Miskaper, as we saw before. The Miskaper is also Tamura. And the Gemara answers, Mikiv'a lo Mechaper, but Mikufya Mechaper. Now, this Kufya and this Kiv'a. What do these words mean? First we'll get the literal translation, then we'll get the conceptual structure. The Yoresh is really not Miskaper B'Karbon Aviv. Again, we'll see why he could be Meimir, but he doesn't really become the Bala Kapara. Because Kviya, which means Kvua, the real Kapara Kvua, meaning the nitty-gritty Kapara, is only the Bailim themselves, not the Yoresh, because the Yoresh is not Konah, as we saw in the case of Mincha. But nevertheless, he's miskaper, what's called, not kvua, but a kapara of kufya. Kufya means floating on the surface, something on the very superficial level. He gets some sort of partial kapara. He gets enough of kapara to be considered a miskaper, and therefore it means he's in the driver's seat. He has the authority and the power to be meimir based on that limited kind of kapara, which is called kapar mi kufya. But at the same time, there's not a real bona fide kinyan here to make him a full fledged miskaper. And that's why, in the case of two heirs, we don't view them as shutfim because there is no kinyan. And therefore, if the father had designated a mincha and then he died, his two sons are able to bring this mincha as a carbon kosher, not because of ownership, but because of Yerusha, in the case of Kachim. And had it been ownership, it would have been shutfis. And that's no good here. That wouldn't be masha, the carbon, because the mincha doesn't come as shutfis. Now again, just to focus as we close the shiur on the word kufya and its meaning. So you have here a note from Masifta. He says that the word kufya means loshen tzaf. Tzaf means something that floats on the water. Like for example, the Targum Unkelus says on the pasuk vayotzef habarzel v'kofa barzel. So you see, the kofa means vayotzef. And here also what it means is that the kapar of the yoresh is tzafa. It's like floating. It comes memela, but it's not a real ikar mechaper. The ikar kapara is not his. He has enough of a status of mechaper such that this karbon lends itself to tmura. But on the other hand, he's not a fil bailim such that he and his fellow heir, his brother, would become shutfim. And the Chafetz Chaim writes something which gets the Panim Meiros a little bit upset. And the Chafetz Chaim in his Likutei Halachos claims that kapara mikufya is an incomplete kapara. It's not a complete kapara, even as far as mitzvah's essay is concerned. So for example, if he wants to be miskaper on the omission, the non-fulfillment of a mitzvah's essay, he's going to have to bring another ola, says the Chafetz Chaim. The Panim Eros, on the other hand, says that kapara mikufya is enough of a kapara for an essay, such that he doesn't have to bring a replacement ola. So again, we're talking about the Yoresh, who inherits a carbon from his father. And let's say it was a carbon Ola, for example. In the case of an Ola, the Chafetz Chaim says that although there's some sort of a limited, you know, shmek, a very limited, you know, kind of superficial kapara here, he's still not the real miskaper, he's not real the real bialim, and if he, meaning the Yoresh, has certain averos of esse biyado, he didn't bring a lulav on sukkahs, then he's going to have to bring another korban ola. The ola that he inherits is not going to be enough to achieve the kapara that he needs, because it's only a superficial kapara mikufya, insofar as the Yoresh is not a full-fledged owner. He doesn't become really the bialim of the carbon. He only gets a certain limited, superficial level of kapara, and therefore he's not the miskaper. And if he's not the miskaper, he's got to bring another carbon, another ola, to replace this ola. The Panim Meiris, on the other hand, understands that, you know, if you're talking about judging and weighing the level of the kapara that's achieved by the son through Yerusha's carbon aviv, that level passes the 50%, it passes the critical line, such that he has enough for kapara that he doesn't have to bring a replacement carbon. Okay, Rabosai, we'll stop here. We're up to Ibailahu, and Belinetta will pick that up tomorrow.